You know, I've been very lucky in my life to be in the Shawamigan National Forest before, early in the morning, before light, walking out into the woods and hearing a gray wolf howl and then another one answer. And I sat down on a stump in the dark. Well, there was some moonlight out, and I was able to listen for quite a while to those, what seemed like a long time anyway. Probably wasn't that long, but it seemed like a long time. And there's nothing like being in the middle of a forest like the Shawamigan National Forest and hearing, and then I've had a chance to see some wolves in the wild as well. So it's been really great for me. They're a wonderful, interesting animal. And we're going to be talking today with you about where the wolves live in the timber wolves that exist in the wild, where they live in the counties of Wisconsin, and talk about their management. We've Scott Walder with us today, DNR's large carnivore specialist. He oversees the coordination of wolf, bear, and cougar management within the state. So it's great to have him with us. He's based in the DNR's Madison office, was appointed to this position last January. Before that, he was director of conservation programs for the Ruffed Grouse Society. He has a doctorate in wildlife ecology from UW-Madison. And Scott, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks much, Larry. It's nice to be here.
And as you listen to Scott and I talk, you can join in too as we talk about the status of wolves in Wisconsin. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Maybe you've got a story. Maybe there's a wolf pack that lives near you. Maybe you've been involved in the large carnivore tracking program. Give a call again, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Well, Scott, let's start out just bringing us up to date on the status of wolves, how many there are and where they live in the state.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting when you talk about wolves in Wisconsin to understand that this is the 40th anniversary of the reappearance of wolves in Wisconsin.
So,
yeah, 1978, they first came across from established populations in Minnesota. So there's still a newness, you know, the shine is still on wolves in Wisconsin. But where we are now, we've got wolves established across essentially the northern third of the state. Mm-hmm. We've got wolves in our central forest region, throughout the central forest, and they're beginning to creep out of those areas into more of a agricultural landscape. In terms of numbers, you mentioned the volunteer carnivore trackers that help us every year identify mm-hmm. how many wolves are on the landscape. And last winter, those folks told us we've got, as a minimum midwinter count, just over 900 wolves in the state.
Wow.
So we've come a long way, baby,
from,
in 40 years.
From none to 900 in 40 years. It's amazing. So the habitats changed a little bit from the sound of it. They've adapted to maybe what you might call non-traditional areas.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting point when it comes to wolves. Because they had been persecuted really for a century, the 1800s into the mid-1900s, they were pushed into the remotest country available. In fact, at a point in the 1950s and 60s, there were only wolves in northeast Minnesota across the lower 48 states. Right. So,
wow.
And that led to the belief that wolves must be a species of wilderness areas because that's the only place they're found. But what they've taught us since is we've adopted this more conservation ethic and allow these wildlife populations to expand, that as long as there's food to eat, as long as in Wisconsin's case there's deer on the landscape, they'll be happy just about anywhere. In fact, if you and I hopped in a car, Larry, and drove under an hour north of Madison here, we'd run into a wolf pack.
Wow. There's a wolf pack. And when we talk about wolf packs, we're talking about a pack might be anywhere from a couple to five or six, maybe at the high end, or...
Yeah, well, it depends. If you look across wolf range, the average pack size is determined by the size of their primary prey. I mean body size, right? So in areas where wolves feed on things like moose or muskox or bison, you might get an average wolf pack size of 7 or 8. But here in Wisconsin, where the primary prey is white-tailed deer, 4. The average wolf pack size over the last couple decades hasn't varied much from 4.
Yeah, I think the pack in our area that was working in northern Wisconsin, where we kind of hunt deer and so forth, was 4. I think there were probably 4 based on tracks that I saw anyway, and wolves that I saw. I never saw them together. I only saw singles. Is that common that they will sometimes run on their own or be gone on their own?
Yeah, occasionally. Of course, they are a pack, and the packs are really family groups, right? It's often the breeding pair with that year's pups, maybe, and a couple of yearlings taken along. So they tend to travel as a group, but depending on the time of the year, the pups may be at a rendezvous site or at a den site, and the adults will go off singly or in pairs and hunt independent from the other members, yep.
Okay. They are currently on the federal endangered species list. So what does that mean for the wolves and protections and so forth?
Sure. Well, it means an awful lot to us in the DNR because we've got a state law in place that authorizes us to manage wolves and make determinations that are really important in terms of where we want wolves in the state, how many wolves we want. But when wolves are federally protected, the protections of the Endangered Species Act come into play, and that basically lifts wolf management out of the DNR's hands. And the protections contained in that Endangered Species Act preclude, for example, a harvest season, preclude lethal control as a means of dealing with livestock depredations, things like that. So it's a very important issue.
Yeah, and it's something that you hear pretty loud shouting on both sides,
yeah.
Kind of on both sides of that particular issue. Well, we'll give you a chance to join in. Again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Are there issues with livestock or household pets, that sort of thing?
Yes, on both accounts. Wolves, as you mentioned, are this mythical animal that many of us appreciate out there on Wisconsin's landscape, but they don't come without a cost. They definitely have impacts, and farmers feel the brunt of those impacts because the loss of a livestock for an individual farmer is, you know, something hits them right square in the back pocket, right? So those issues are things we deal with each year. In Wisconsin, we've got our Wildlife Damage Abatement and Claims Program that works with farmers to mitigate damage caused by deer, other wildlife, but also wolves. So there is recourse for those farmers if they have issues with their local wolf pack. They can get a hold of our staff, and we'll help them. At this point, with wolves federally protected, we can't utilize lethal control, but there are other non-lethal means that can be used essentially to keep those wolves or try to keep them away from their livestock.
Let's take a call. Max in Manitowoc has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Max.
Hey, Larry. Quick question. So I recently learned this last year about this kind of hybrid wolf called a coy wolf, which I guess shares DNA with the coyotes and gray wolves. And I guess the main characteristic I was concerned about was that they don't inhibit like the shyness of like a typical gray wolf, I suppose. So I was wondering if we had any of those spotted here in the state, because I know Upper New York was really having an issue with them. So I was just curious to know if we had anything like that here.
Yeah, Scott Walder?
Yeah, certainly hybridization between wolves and other species, coyotes, even dogs, does occur, but it doesn't occur, at least wolf and coyote hybridization, much if at all here in Wisconsin. What we've learned, this has been looked at quite a bit, and what we've learned is that our wolves are fairly large, and when a wolf encounters a coyote, the coyote loses. There's not usually a romance that blossoms. It usually ends differently. There is a population of gray wolves up in Ontario that tends to be a little bit smaller, And in that area, these types of hybrids are known to occur.
Yeah, so there you go. Thank you, Max, for calling. Tom in Adams County, your turn. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, hi. Calling about Colburn Wildlife Area, there was a few incidents there a couple of years ago with wolves. And we had some, I've got some property nearby the Colburn Wildlife Area, and we had a fairly large population up here, a lot of dens with pups. I'm just wondering, have you done anything to eradicate some or take any wolves out of that area? We don't seem to be seeing as many.
Yeah, in terms of direct intervention, again, if this was within the last 4 years, the DNR is prohibited from utilizing lethal control unless there's a threat to human health and safety. Then lethal control is possible. So as far as I'm aware on the Colburn, there's been no lethal control utilized.
Well, sometimes, let's talk about how a pack operates. I think the pack that was in our area may have moved a bit. And do they move around? Can they establish different areas? I'm sort of getting at, Tom said there were a lot of wolves, and now he's not seeing as many.
Yeah. Well, generally, the pack territories are fairly stable. Again, these are family units, and what they're protecting is their food source, right? They're protecting, on average in Wisconsin, 40 to 50 square miles, so they've got access to those deer. But, you know, wolves die. Wolves disperse, so over time these packs can fragment, break up. That area may be usurped by a neighboring pack. There may be a new pack that comes in. But generally speaking, if you live in wolf range, you've got wolves in your area now, next year, 5 years, 10 years down the road, you're not going to have any more, because that territorial behavior allows wolves to sort of self-determine their own densities. Four wolves per pack. 45, 50 square miles per pack. Spread that out on the landscape. There's the number of wolves you have.
And I had another question, but it just slipped out of my head here. So let's go to Mary in Juneau County. Mary, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. We've got about 30 or 45 seconds for you to talk, so go ahead.
Well, it's just a quick thing, not a question. I just was fortunate enough to be able to see one summer last, 2017. It was a big female, and she was old, and she was pretty poor. It was during fawning time, and she was lame. She was lame on her front paw. But anyway, it was. I've heard that they were around here, and I was fortunate enough to experience one. And I think they're a grand animal. Even I have livestock. I wouldn't want them to be attacked by wolves, but I still appreciate them. So that's my comment.
Oh, that's great. That's a wonderful experience that not everybody gets to see, for sure, Scott.
Yeah, that's right. And I appreciate your calling in, Mary, especially as a livestock owner. You know, one of the biggest issues we face with wolves in Wisconsin is this idea of public acceptance, tolerance. That's one of the things that we work on daily. And hearing that Mary's a livestock producer and still appreciates wolves, you know, in the end, that's what it's all about.
Good for her. Thanks, Mary. Thanks very much for calling. Scott Walter, our guest today, the large carnivore specialist with the Wisconsin DNR. He's going to be with us right up till 12:30 to take your questions and comments. We'll take a look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us, and then we'll be back. So you stay with us. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, Wisconsin is one of about a dozen states in the country with a wild gray wolf population. Call them timber wolves as well. They're the largest wild members of the dog family. And we're learning a bit about their habitat and management today as we visit with Scott Walter. He's our guide today. He's the large carnivore specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He oversees the coordination of wolves, bear, and cougar management within the state. So love to hear your questions and maybe encounters in your part of the world of Wisconsin here. Number to call 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And a couple of callers have been waiting a bit, so let's just go back to the phones. And Helen in West Salem, it's your turn. Hi, Helen.
Hi. I just wanted to say that a few years ago when my nephew and his cousins were canoe camping in northern Minnesota, my nephew would play his mouth organ, and when he played ballads, the wolves would respond. But if he played anything else, they wouldn't.
They respond to ballads. Have you ever heard of that, Scott?
Well, certainly wolves are very vocal animals. You know, they as we were talking a bit ago, occupy very large home ranges. So they communicate over broad distances, of course, with howling. They're also capable of other vocalizations that communicate within the pack. But it's interesting. It's wolves appreciate ballads.
There you go.
I wonder if I shouldn't take my AC/DC CDs out in the woods next time, see if they enjoy my kind of music.
Probably not. I bet you they wouldn't. I bet they wouldn't. Well, Jeff, and thanks, Helen. Jeff in Jackson County, your turn. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, good afternoon. I just wanted to comment on your statement that they usually run in packs, but we see 2 to 3 every deer season up here. And they're always, always alone. And another comment is, at night when the coyotes are howling, when an old wolf lets loose, the woods go silent.
Yeah. Well,
you know, that the latter comment there, Jeff's not surprising. When you think about our 4 native canids, you start with the little gray fox and his older cousin, the bigger cousin, the red fox, then coyotes and gray wolves. Gray wolves are the largest, and they're the dominant. In fact, when wolves move into an area like they've moved into Wisconsin, they can alter the wildlife community structure by having impacts on those smaller canids.
Yeah, really interesting. And the fact, and you were commenting earlier that oftentimes they'll hunt, they can hunt alone. And so I my experience deer hunting too, seeing a single wolf out there, actually the wolf did a little drive for me because it went right across an area where and into the woods where I was kind of looking for deer.
Well, I hope you shared your harvest with it, Larry.
Well, I didn't get any harvest at that point, but it was fun anyway. And so they do hunt alone, even though they have a pack.
They do. And you know, this brings up an interesting bit of information we've learned. It used to be thought that a wolf pack size was determined by the size of the prey. And we talked about that being true, but it's not true for the reason we used to think. We used to think that larger packs were needed to take down larger prey, like moose and muskox. But individual wolves have been observed taking down individual moose and muskox. So, yeah, they can take down large prey by themselves.
Interesting. Thanks again for that call. Appreciate it very much. Rebecca in way up north. Rebecca, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, we're on our way hunting right now. We're coming from Waukesha, and we're on our way up to Eagle River right now. We're listening to the show, and we're wondering if the chronic wasting disease issue that has been happening with the deer, does it really have an effect on the timber wolf population?
Well, you know, that's a really interesting question and can be attacked from a number of angles. As far as we know, wolves aren't susceptible to the chronic wasting disease prion. But from another angle, there's, and I want to talk about this very hesitantly or very carefully, there's been some initial modeling work that suggests that wolves can reduce the spread of CWD and perhaps even eliminate it by preying on vulnerable deer, infected deer. So they reduce transmission rates, perhaps, and may have an impact on the rate at which CWD spreads through deer populations. So
very interesting. And they don't seem to be affected by it, but they could have an impact on the CWD spread.
And again, that's just modeling work, you know, making some assumptions. And
Wolves are going to take, they're not going to take the healthiest animal. They're probably going to take the one that has problems more likely, aren't they?
Absolutely. By and large, there's a lot of field evidence that supports that. You know, in Minnesota, for example, they found that wolves on average harvest deer that are much older than we as humans harvest during the deer season. Studies showing that the moose taken down by wolves, the deer taken down by wolves, tend to be on a lower nutritional plane, often starving. So, yeah, they're not tending to take the healthiest, most reproductive animals in the population.
Well, you take the one that you can easily catch, I guess, or get.
Right.
And run down.
And the way I've always thought about this, when I explain it to groups I might be talking about, we all played tag when we were kids, right? And you don't want to be the guy that's it. So do you chase the athletic guy that can outrun you, or the slow kid that you can catch right away? And that's essentially it with wolves. When they encounter a prey animal, there's this assessment period. And interestingly, most often, when wolves encounter a moose, a white-tailed deer, they may test it briefly, but they don't pursue it if the deer is able to show that it's healthy.
Yeah, well, why waste your energy?
Yep.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Rebecca. Appreciate that call. Nancy in New Berlin, you're up now. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was in Langlade County a couple of weekends ago, hiking the entire Ice Age Trail in segments with four other friends, and we were hiking through some heavy, wet snow. It might have been about 5 inches, and we were noticing some paw prints and wondered if, I was very glad to hear that the wolves are interested in deer for their prey, but how much of a threat are they to hikers? And if we come across one, or a pack, or even bear for that matter, what kind of advice would you have for us?
Certainly, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, when we talk gray wolves, black bears, or even the cougars that are starting to pop up in Wisconsin, they are large carnivores. You know, so that sort of awareness that is being expressed here is certainly important. With respect to wolves, it's exceedingly rare, almost hasn't happened in recorded history, that healthy wolves have attacked people. You know, they tend to be shy, wary. So the best thing to do if you encounter them, first of all, enjoy the experience, because they're not going to be looking at you as a prey item. But if you get concerned, clap your hands, you know, advance toward the animals, wave your arms over the air, let them know that you're not a suitable prey item.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. Nancy, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Justin in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm just kind of curious. I know in the southeastern part of the state, we've had some reports of, you know, cougars that have made their way through, and even some rumors of other big cats, maybe not worth mentioning. But just kind of wondering how wolves interact with some of those other big carnivores that are also found in Wisconsin.
That's a fantastic question. So I'd first point out that once cougars started to show up, all three of our native large carnivores are back in Wisconsin, which is, I think, a credit not only to, you know, conservation in general, but to our public's acceptance of these healthy, diverse communities. In terms of how these cougars are going to interact with wolves, certainly they're going to compete for the primary prey that they both share, white-tailed deer. But in terms of direct interactions, there are recorded incidents where cougars have depredated wolves and vice versa, but generally the species are going to avoid each other, right? Cougars can climb trees if there's a wolf pack that's threatening, but generally it'll be through competition for deer.
No, there you go. Thank you so much. And Brian in Lewiston, your turn. Hi, Brian.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I went out to check a cornfield this morning to see how much they'd combine. There was a big black wolf just loping across not 50 yards out into the field, and he kind of stopped and looked at me a little bit, and then he just loped along and just went on his way. And it's not uncommon here in Lewiston, just east of the Dells, to see wolves out here.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. And there's a pack in that area then.
Yeah, there is. You know, I appreciate the call and the observation, because it's indicative of the fact that if there are deer in an area, wolves will do just fine as long as we tolerate their presence.
Yeah.
Now, I should say, one of the big questions we're going to have to answer and move forward with once wolves are delisted and the DNR resumes management authority is that big burning question: where do we want wolves in Wisconsin? in southern Wisconsin, of course, there are a lot of roads, there's a lot of livestock, there's a lot of people. So wolves may be able to persist, but the impacts of encounters with high human densities may not be good for us or wolves. So where we draw that line is remaining to be seen.
Very interesting. Have we had a wolf struck by a car in the state? We've had some.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, so those wolf car collisions, the insurance companies probably know exactly how many.
That's right.
That there have been. So there you go, Brian. Thanks a lot for that observation. Appreciate it very much. Gene in Knapp, Wisconsin, your turn. Hi, Gene.
Hi. Yes, have there been any, you indicated that CWD, they didn't think it's transferred to wolves. Have there been any feeding studies where they've fed CWD contaminated materials to canines?
Not that I know of. There may be some such studies out there. Early on, when CWD popped into Wisconsin, I know there was generated pretty significant interest in where that prion may be found outside of deer. Now we know that it's in the soil and in plants. And in terms of whether or not it's been looked for in other canids, I'm not aware, but it certainly could have been.
And, you know, to go along with that, Tim had something relating to CWD and wolves. He wondered if deer will be controlling CWD in infected areas by culling deer, can CWD be spread through the wolf feces?
That's a really good question. Again, it's probably an unknown, but we can make assumptions, right? That if it's an infected deer, those prions survive certainly the digestive process, so the prions may not be destroyed, but what may be impacted if these initial modeling studies are accurate is transmission rates among deer if those infected deer are removed relatively early on.
Oh, interesting. Let's go to Darren in Iowa County next. Hi, Darren.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, I had a question for your speaker there today. We live in western Dane County near the Iowa County line, and myself, my brother-in-law, and neighbors have all seen a rather large, we thought it was a crossbreed wolf or coyote. Has there been anything spotted officially out in that area?
Yeah, I mean, I described early on that our established wolf populations, primarily in the northern third of the state and the central forest, but part of this pack dynamic includes the dispersal of animals when they're a couple of years old, and we've had dispersing wolves, you know, observed throughout southern Wisconsin. So it's certainly not outside the realm of possibility.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Darren. And you can join in, too, by the way. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234 with your question or maybe experience. Joe in Chippewa Falls, we'll go to you next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Larry. First off, I can say that if a person really wanted to check a really awesome wolf pack habitat, it's just up in Ely, Minnesota. I love going up there. But I was going to mention myself, here 2 years back, we hunt in the Nilsville area by the Bell Peak area, and I know there's a wolf pack or a couple in that area. And as I was making a drive around the new area of the woods, I was stepping over two limbs or two fallen trees. In between there, I looked down, and here was a half-eaten deer. And that kind of startled me. I thought, oh, my gosh, I just came upon a wolf pack refrigerator. And I just got the hair standing up on the back of my neck. I'm like, I think it's a good time to leave this area right now. Because I know they eat the gut piles after the opening gun deer. I know they're around, or I've seen their tracks. But it's a scary moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's sort of reflective of what our relationship with the outdoors does when wolves are part of the picture, right? Everything, every encounter, every situation like is described here takes on a little different tint.
Yeah, thanks, Joe, for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, it is interesting to observe them, you know, but it's different from a tree stand than it is when you're on the ground walking through and suddenly suddenly there's a wolf that you run you run into. You know, as citizen scientists, I know that the DNR works a lot with citizen scientists. How are they helpful in terms of wolves and the wolf population?
Oh, incredibly helpful. In fact, I might refer to our group of volunteer carnivore trackers, volunteer wolf trackers, as the backbone of our wolf monitoring program. So I mentioned that with wolves listed, we're not able to manage wolf populations, but we still are actively engaged in monitoring and developing these annual counts of wolves. And we develop information that goes into those counts through a number of means, but the primary means is by going out in the winter when after a fresh snow, driving rural roads and forest roads, looking for tracks and trying to identify the presence of wolves, how many wolves are in that pack, and then summarizing that data. And as wolves expanded across the state, across the northern and central part of the state, the DNR couldn't do those things alone. So we reached out and asked for help from the public. And now we've got well over 100 individuals that spend time surveying wolves for us. Yep.
And you have a, don't you have some wolf ecology workshops coming up, or have those gone by yet? No, they haven't, have they?
Yeah, we've held a couple already, but there are a couple ahead of us here. And I should say, if anybody is interested in wolves and wants to participate as a volunteer wolf tracker, the door is wide open. We've got information on our website related to the courses that are coming up, essentially to contribute data to our annual count and to participate in these surveys. You need to go through a carnivore track training course, which is a one-day course, and also a wolf ecology course. And there are a couple options coming up here for folks that might be interested in participating.
In the next month or so, or when?
Yeah, I'm looking at the table right here in front of me. We've got one coming up in Sandhill. That's the carnivore tracking class on December 1st, and then a combined two-day session at Crax Meadows Wildlife Area up near Grantsburg, and that's December 8th and 9th. And again, anybody interested, you just go to the DNR website, type in Volunteer Carnivore Tracking Program. There's a link therein to the schedule, and you can get registered. A
couple of nice places to go if you're going to participate, for sure. Brian in Lone Rock had a question for you. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Thank you, Larry. I'm just wondering, wasn't there a wolf season at one time in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
And the other part of that is there a max population that the state would like to maintain?
All right. Thank you for calling, Brian. Scott?
Boy, right at the end here, we get some big, meaty questions. And the answer, Brian, is yes. I mentioned that when wolves are federally protected, we're not able to hold a harvest season. But when they're not listed on the federal endangered species list, by state law, we're required to hold a harvest season. And wolves were delisted in 2012, 13, and 14. And during those years, we did have a wolf harvest season. Yep.
And do we have we decided, or I guess we haven't decided yet, maybe, or maybe I have, on in terms of the maximum number there? If, well, obviously, if there's on the endangered species list, there's going to be however many there are, I guess.
Yeah, and that's one of the things with listed status of wolves is we can't make those determinations. But we do have a wolf management plan. The version where we're operating with right now is written in 1999, modified a bit in 2006. We've added a lot of wolves to our state population since, but at that time, the population goal was set at 350 wolves. And that remains our population goal. But as we get closer to a delisting decision, we're certainly gonna work with the public, many of our stakeholder groups, to revisit that and decide whether or not 350 should continue or some other population goal.
And at the present, we're at about 900, do you think?
Yeah, and again, that's the midwinter count. You know, when those 900-plus wolves came into this past spring, you know, those packs had pups, so we may have had 1,500, 1,600 at some point early in the summer.
Wow. Well, I just one other comment from Peter emailing about livestock depredation. He said the number of cattle killed or injured by wolves in Wisconsin in a typical year is about the number that go to slaughter every 30 minutes in the state. So maybe not a totally fair comparison because, you know, wolves are only present mostly in about a third of the state, but still provide some perspective, Peter says, about the levels of that particular problem.
Yep. Yeah, and that's good perspective to have, but it's not a perspective you may have if those 20 or 30 cows were
yours. Yeah.
And that's the issue we deal with. Yeah.
That is the issue. Well, there are coming up on Saturday, there are probably going to be a lot more sightings than normal of wolves across Wisconsin with the opening of the deer season.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope you're going to get out there, Larry. I know I'll be in a tree stand with my 10-year-old son. Looking forward to his first deer hunt. So,
well, it's been a real pleasure, Scott. Thank you so much. I hope you'll come back and be with us again. Love to have you back.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invitation.
Scott Walter is a large carnivore specialist, the large carnivore specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He oversees coordination of wolves, bear, and cougar management within the state. And he's based in DNR's Madison office, so great to have him along. We'll get him back and do this all over again, and probably maybe zero in on some of the bear and the cougar as well when we visit with him. So tomorrow at this time, we talk with the Bureau of Consumer Protection folks about how to keep your wallet safe during this active shopping time. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.